football on off the ball.
Trying to run forward and give us that energy. I think probably the penalty, I probably should do better. I probably should get the shot off a little bit earlier, in my opinion. Probably lacking that little bit of sharpness, just for whatever reason. I think I'll get stronger as the season goes on. But
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
For that, Matthew, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger.
Colm, how are you?
Morning, Ger. You're looking at the negatives for Munster. Oh, that was a good weekend, wasn't it? John had it. 4 tries. Alex Condellan, hat-trick.
Yeah.
Great weekend for the back rows.
Tyghbern injured.
Munster fifth, Leinster fourth.
Ollie Yeager, head injury again. Cavan Nash out for the rest of the season, it looks like.
I would say that's the second thing to say after Munster's victory.
Well, they were playing like the fourth choice.
Yeah, they played very well.
They did, yeah. Fair play. You got to beat the under-15s who we were playing against.
I apologise to the Ulster players who were playing, if you're listening this morning.
That Ulster team is injury-riddled, isn't it? They're all
Yeah, they rested everybody, hoping that their backdoor into top tier competition next season is going to be through winning the Challenge Cup. But
yeah.
But I would say a bit of a disaster for Munster, really. No?
No, they won.
But the injuries.
Yeah, well, injuries, okay. That's the next thing you talk about. Yeah, for sure. Injury riddled.
They were like 27 point favourites heading into the game.
And they won. I'm just saying it was a good performance.
Yeah, played
well.
Okay, yeah.
You know. But you're looking at a negative for Munster.
Well,
I wouldn't look at a negative.
All right.
I do get annoyed at the URC in general that we can talk about is that, like, it is a league that you think you're just essentially like arresting a lot of star players. You know, it's not really a league that is there for the best to play
until like the end.
Yeah, but
when everybody wants to
wait
win
all year round, you know, for constant resting and rotation.
Leinster did that last year, didn't they? Start and they like won every single game. Now they did go on and win it all in the end, so it was worthy, but. Yeah, no, it's a fair point. You kind of get to the end by default.
Yeah, Leinster did have a disaster in getting beaten in Benetton. And they had a pretty strong team, but they also have injury problems. Tyke Furlong went off with another leg injury. So it looks like he might miss next weekend against Toulon. Their front row, bit of an issue. Ryan Baird still picking up and still carrying an injury as well. So I don't know, I would say. Anyway, I'm presupposing where we're going to be. Cork hurlers won. That's the big story. Down footballers won.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The Rossies. Whoa.
What a day.
Yes. What a day. What a weekend of sport again. Second weekend in a row. It's crazy. Like, the amount of honorable mentions we have alone here that won't make it into the official performance rankings this
Rat
morning.
Through them there. Go on.
Finn Azaz. The
what
moment of his life.
What a boy.
All of his career. Befitting of an FA Cup semi-final at Wembley. The turn and spin. 79th minute to put them one up. Unfortunately for him, Nico Gonzalez did just that for himself to get the winner after Jeremy Docko equalised.
It's amazing what these footballers can do. Like, looking at Finn Azaz there. He does not look up once. He's just on the turn and whips it in the top corner. It's also amazing what these sides like Manchester City can do when they're pressing and trying to score for 75 odd minutes. And as soon as it's like, oh, are in trouble here. They just turned the screw, you know. And you'd wonder, is that something they're going to do over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
As the pressure comes on an Arsenal that we'll come on to later on.
City and Chelsea, the first time they'll contest an FA Cup final, which is kind of hard to believe.
That's mad, isn't it?
And Man City have the record now for the first team to reach 4 finals in a row. Chelsea beat Leeds 1-0 yesterday. Cole Palmer's on the bench actually started. He wasn't fit enough to play. Callum McFarlane's second time. First game, interim stint. What else? So much like Sebastian Salve with the record in the marathon, under 2 hours. Came in, was it in 30 seconds before the 2 hour mark? Beautiful.
1:59:30.
Yeah. And what else do we have? The Scottish Premiership is sensational again. So Hearts beat Hibs yesterday in the Derby 2-1. Late enough winner there. Celtic had a win, Rangers lost. So at the moment, 34 games played for everyone. Hearts on top with 73 points, Celtic second with 70 points, and then Rangers a point behind.
Did you see the Hibs red card?
No.
The keeper. Oh, it's criminal. Ball comes over the top and he comes out and he sort of catches it outside the box, and then he's sort of standing there going, oh, I'm in trouble here. And then he drops it and then gets the red. Loads of Irish involvement in that one too. Jamie McGrath picked up an assist, and then Warren O'Hara, unfortunately for him, scored an own goal.
Other Irish interest, Johnny Kenny, on form for Bolton. Lovely goal against Bradford, and Andrew Amabamadele with the 100th minute winner for Strasbourg against Lorient in Ligue 1.
Harvey Vale on the score sheet too.
We should. Good, yeah. The OTB breakfast bounce.
Yeah.
Peter Lynch from Kilkenny ran an Irish record in the London Marathon as well. Took 2 minutes off his time. 2:06.08, which normally would be winning, you know, back in the day would have been winning races. Finished good enough for a top 10 finish. Interesting stuff from Kyle Dennehy about whether or not you can believe the records. So he's gone through. There's Pro Evo 3, the Adizero Adios Pro Evo 3 is the name of the shoe. That is going to be available for £500 this week if you want to run like a marathon record breaker. But I guess the main thing, obviously, Kenya's record in anti-doping is horrific. However, this fella, Sawe, volunteered to undergo intensive testing by the Athletics Integrity Unit last year, far above the normal rate. Adidas picked up the 50 grand bill for the 25 tests. Is it proof that he's clean? No, but with testing the best weapon in this imperfect game of cat and mouse, it was a welcome step that gives his record more credibility. So,
disaster for the French Open. Carlos Alcaraz has withdrawn, the defending champion for the last 2 years. That match was legendary last year. He was 2-0 down against Jannik Sinner and won that. Between the two of them, they've won the last 9 slams.
There's talk he's going to miss Wimbledon as well.
Yeah. It's bad. He picked up a right wrist injury in Barcelona last week. So that's disastrous for them. And Ryder Cup tickets, finally in the honourable mention category here. Ryder Cup tickets, we were complaining about it last week, 299, was it?
499 for the weekend, yeah.
For the day. Sold out within an hour on Friday afternoon.
They didn't say how many.
That was the disappointing quantity thing. But it's very Irish, isn't it? A lot of complaints, and then when it comes to it, you vote for them.
Yeah.
Like Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael in the general election. You know, you do what's comfortable and you get it, you know, you get it.
Yourself up.
Absolutely not. I'll have a Braeburn competition if you'll have one.
You're doing now, yeah.
Yeah. Who gets it all? You know the rules by now. If you don't, you text WhatsApp exclusively 0879 180 180. We'll pick a winner at the end of the show today. The winner gets a €100 voucher for Braeburn. Again, this competition is exclusively on WhatsApp 0879 180 180. Concerns aside, that will start within the performance rankings. It's down. Arguably the story of the weekend in many stories that were over the weekend. The last time, of course, down in All-Ireland senior men's final was 16 years ago, where they lost by a point to Cork in 2010. But what year did Down last win the Sam Maguire? And on that note, it's time for the performance rankings.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. Our performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yeah, we have so many options this week, but it's kind of hard to start anywhere else but Down, who have beaten Donegal to knock Donegal out of Ulster defending champions. Did you see Shane Hannon call this over the weekend?
Yeah,
he had his lap of honour in his Instagram story. What a shout that was, because he got the reaction in the studio, got the reaction nationwide. Shall we just hear from the man behind it all, Conor Laverty, the Down boss, Neil Loughran of
the Irish News,
I should say, a sports reporter. He put it up on X last night. Have a listen to this.
I'm not really into that kind of motivational things of using what other people say, because if you were doing that, you'd be spending your life listening to other people's opinions and, you know, overthinking things and that. There, you just have to back yourself and know that you're in a journey and where you want to go. I told the lads last night, I showed them that with my screensaver and my phone, I told them that I believed that they were going to win. My screensaver and my phone was... That's RTE's championship draw. So it is.
Incredible.
And I saved that on my phone.
How long have you had that saved?
3 weeks. And I've looked at it every day, and it's been pretty tough. Tough nights doing video. The lads deserve an awful lot of work. Going to training in the middle of lambing. It's been a tough few weeks, but. I showed them that last night, and I said them on Thursday night. I says, I don't think he's just fully or with me in the belief just yet. I says, but before Sunday morning, we're going to believe the same way that this management team believe in you. And I said to them at half time, I says, you fully believe me now. I says, you fully believe what this management team believe. And you could see it bouncing in their eyes. You could see them that they were ready.
The screensaver in question was an RT graphic that had Donegal playing either Tyrone or Armagh in the Ulster semi final.
Some result. And it's brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
So down one step closer to our first Ulster final in 9 years.
How much does that matter?
Which, the graphic? Oh, I don't know. I think it's all pretty... It's whatever you make it, isn't it?
Well, it's funny because the start of that interview... The start of that interview like was Laverty saying, you can't listen to outside noise.
Yeah. Too much, yeah.
And then he whips out the phone.
Well, it's like Brawley and Star, you know? I just wonder... does everybody have this going on? It's just the team who wins. You know, did Donegal have something similar, except obviously it didn't work for them? Did the Mayo footballers have something similar, except it didn't work for them? It's the winners who tell us the story, and therefore that's the bit that drove them further than they thought they could.
But you can say that.
Darren are really good.
You know, of course.
And he has obviously got this incredible charisma and knowledge. And so, like, you know, he kind of, obviously, I think he's still playing for Kilcoo, or was coming off the bench last year anyway.
You can say that about a lot of things, though, really, can't you? In that,
yes, but that's what I'm asking specifically in this case. What do you think?
Everything is everything. I know. I don't, like, for me personally, I wouldn't do a whole lot for me. I don't think, but he seems to think that it's had an impact on his players. Like,
well, they put everything into this match as if it was a final. They put everything into it. They were together for 10 days straight, obsessing over Donegal.
Right.
Yeah. They've put their lives on hold. We've been together for the last 10 days in a row now, studying Donegal and making sure we had every I dot and T crossed. Let's no stone unturned.
That's the management team, though.
That's Conor Laverty saying that,
him and the management team, I think. Cause like, so that inspiration was for him, was it? Is that what we're to take from that clip? And I don't know, obviously I'm asking you to speculate here, because like when I was doing those late nights of video, I wanted the team to know that we were putting all the work in. And that was inspiration for him. He only showed the players that it seems in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I would say he was using it as something for himself. Yeah.
Right.
But
when you're absolutely wrecked and you're like, oh, I've got another hour of this.
Do you suspect that
left corner back to do my analysis
that
on?
That some of the players at least were also aware of this graphic?
I don't know. I guess I'd say if you were interested in down football and that graphic went up at the time, you'd be like, where are we? Oh, they already beat us, did they? Oh, great. So I'd say it's probably...
And then, so in order, there's a world where Laverty played it down in front of the squad.
Until the last
went
minute.
Went back with the staff and said, this is actually infuriating.
It sounds like he brought it up to the team at the, you know, obviously the precise right moment.
I'm sure as well it would have been something that the team would have come across at the time. Someone would have been sitting down watching it and said, Jesus, they're writing you boys off. The term
exist.
That we use so much. Yeah. They would, and I was going to say there they would have been fancying this, and obviously they were, considering they went and won. But they played Donegal last year in random, reasonably close in a different type of game. Wasn't quite as action packed, I suppose, as yesterday was.
He talked about that game and how they were a bit more obsessed with trying to stop Donegal last year. This year they went with a game plan, and I don't know if everybody's had the opportunity to see it yet, but when Donegal started to get back into the game with about 10, 12 minutes left to go, and you think, okay, we've seen this script before, but actually every time Donegal did something, Down went at them aggressively and kind of punched them back in the mouth, and were able very easily through swift hand passes to create space in front of goal and just score goals. And there was another one after they'd scored the third goal, and you thought, oh, there's a fourth goal on here, but they take the fisted points and just keep the gap ticking over.
Just finding so much space right in the middle. Down in the middle of the pitch, it seemed as though they obviously had spotted something there.
Yeah, yeah. So whatever about the McGuinness defensive structure is, that they obviously had done incredible amounts of work. And that the other thing, Donegal scored a great goal that was ruled out for the umpires, like looking down, and I thought it was a good decision. The TV or the GA Plus commentary were like, oh, I'm not quite sure if you can see it there. It looked like you could see the vast majority of the ball had gone out over the line, and the umpire was straight away saying, signalling for the wide. So I think that was fair enough that was disallowed. And there was nothing from McGuinness afterwards, no complaints?
No, he was fully praising of Down's performance and lamenting Donegal's own mistakes. We saw that from a few other sides over the weekend too. Like, we'll get to Andy Moore and Mayo about how poor they were in the second half, particularly because Mayo were ahead at half time. As I say, we'll get to that. Jim McGuinness says, very, very disappointed with the overall performance. We had a lot of the ball in the first half, but we weren't ourselves in front of the posts. We were in the 30s in terms of conversion rate, and that's not us, so we have a lot to think about.
Ain't going to win nothing with 30%.
It's the greenest of green for Down there in the performance rankings to start off this week. Up next, we're going to Mayo, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or is it Munster?
It's Mayo.
Mayo.
No, it's not. Sorry, you're right. It's the Munster Hurling Championship.
It's Munster. Okay, well, we start here by hearing from the winning manager, the Cork manager, Ben O'Connor, after Cork beat Limerick yesterday in the Munster Hurling Championship. Have a listen.
Yeah, look, delighted. But I suppose in the day, it's still only 2 points in the Munster Championship. But look, we're delighted to get it, especially our first game at home. Massive crowd outside our supporting us again, so it was nice to get the victory in a close fought battle. I suppose that's the third time we've played Limerick this year, and we've been the wrong side of the other three times, so I suppose that was an extra little bit of motivation. But look, just delighted with the win. Lucky enough that I suppose they had 14 for a lot of the second half, which probably gave us a bit of a help. But look, again, can't credit the boys enough. They tried to the last minute. Delighted.
The game probably coming at a cost, a couple of injuries in court out there as well.
Yeah, it looks like Joyce and Rob Downey there, the two of them at the end, and they look serious enough. I suppose Joyce's looked the most serious, but look, we'll get the boys assessed tomorrow. The medical staff are brilliant. They'll get a look at them this evening, get it probably scans tomorrow and just see how severe the injuries are. But look, you're going to get that. The last day we were out, we didn't pick up any injuries. So we've a couple of weeks now to get ready for Waterford. So hopefully, look, that we'll get back in again on Tuesday night and we'll get going.
Just one last small thing as well. A lot of talk in the build-up about free taking, but Alan, you know, and probably one in the first half that he's disappointed with, but he stood up tall when he really needed to. At the end there, a couple of big frees.
It's outside nice. Look, we know how good Alan is. We've seen Alan taking frees for Blackrock all the time, and we know how good he is with us. If you go through the amount of frees Alan has missed this year in league and in the league and the championships so far, they're very, very small. So no, Alan's a great young fella, and he'll continue to hit them.
Yeah, should we hear from John Kiley?
Yeah.
The losing side of it, here's John Kiley, the Limerick boss.
Just really came down to very fine margins, really tight margins. A turnover here and there, a wide here and there, really, really small margins at the end of the day. But, you know, overall, happy with the performance and probably disappointed not to get something out of the game.
Spoke about the goals being key moments. The red card to Keane was another big moment. Seemed to be a bit of confusion around. Have you got any clarity around this situation?
And again, I didn't see it. I was following the ball. The ball was over near the sideline here on our side. So, listen, it is what it is. It's a red card. We've got to move on. You know, no better man than Keane to move on, you know. I think ultimately the response from our players to that sending off was superb. I thought our energy levels were incredible at that stage. We wrestled back the game, we took the lead. What more could we have done, you know? So just a few pieces got away from us in that closing 10 minutes. A couple of chances we had, a couple of turnovers that we'd be disappointed with where they got their, you know, a point or two. So listen, small things, but very, very happy with the overall performance, and all credit to our lads for the effort.
Just looking ahead then, obviously a big loss today was Aaron Galan. What is his, I suppose, short-term future looking like?
Listen, he won't be available next weekend. His recovery is ongoing. It's early days, but at the same time, we'll be hoping that three weeks, you know, he should be well back.
So it's one of those things where very rare occasion that you do appreciate the good times that you're in when it comes to the Munster Hurling Championship. Because we give it all the plaudits and describe it in all the most flattering adjectives possible. And again, it's come up trumps. Because we'll get to the Waterford game as well. Like Kevin Manny's 75th minute goal.
Yeah.
Snatch a draw against Tipperary.
Some finish.
Which means the defending All-Ireland champions and the worst team in Munster are level on points after two rounds of fixtures. Pretty incredible. But to start here in Páirc Uí, like Limerick were fantastic from the beginning. There were 9 points to two up after a quarter of an hour.
Yeah, they were great.
You know, Ben O'Connor said, and he's right, like, fortunate enough only to go 2 points behind in a half time. Cork started the second half quite well. Who knows what would have happened if Keane had stayed on the pitch, their captain taken off or off the pitch with 20 minutes to go, down to 14. But like Limerick have a free last play of the game that they have to retake because Cork have 16 players on the pitch, which adds to the tension. And there's a slight momentary, maybe for a second and a half, 2 seconds max, scramble before the ball is cleared and Cork win the game. But this rivalry is already one for the ages.
Yeah, it's great. 4 out of 5, Cork have won in Munster. So that was a stat today from Christy O'Connor. He was also pointing out, though, that Keane Lynch might have been getting a bit frustrated, and that's where the red card comes from, that he'd been brilliant in the first 20 minutes. But then between the first 20 minutes and the time he gets sent off, he actually was getting on far less ball. So it was just an interesting kind of wrinkle that actually Cork got on top of that, and Cork got on top in different areas where their half back line really came into it. I think Jonathan asked a great question there about the injuries, because obviously in the immediate aftermath of this, it's like these are the two best teams in the country. Wouldn't it be great to see them again in the Munster final and the All-Ireland final? But actually, if you're missing 3 and 6,
yeah,
from Cork's perspective, oof.
Yeah, it's rough. It is rough. But it shows a lot of character from yesterday, to be fair, to have that injury right at the very beginning of the game. And I'm sure they will have, like, we know these days how much tactics goes into all this stuff and how they would have had such a meticulous plan for what every single player would have been going out there to do. And for that to be not totally thrown out, like, immediately, but, like, a big part of that to be scuppered is...
Kieran Joyce is a huge loss, like, for sure. And particularly, like you said, after about 6 minutes of play, that happens. But, like if you're on the Limerick side of things, they play this weekend against Clare. That's the only Munster game on this coming weekend. And they're without two of their best, if not their two best players.
Both sides have ended up being significantly damaged. And it didn't sound that, he said, Galan's definitely not back next week, and maybe 3 weeks he might be back. But who would you most rather be at the moment? One of the teams in Leinster who are...
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Like
Galway?
I don't know.
Freewheeling through the summer sunshine.
I mean, I don't know.
No injuries, no suspensions.
Like you said yourself there before the show, like, what about Wexford at the moment? You know, like, on the Kilkenny side of things, they like, incredible reaction from the Galway game, but then Galway, nice game against Offaly. I don't know if that's adequate preparation of what lies ahead.
I think it's case by case. I reckon...
I wouldn't mind being Galway or Kilkenny at the moment, thinking...
Well, it's grand now, but it's always grand now.
I think definitely Kilkenny.
6 weeks to peak, whereas Cork and Limerick took a lot out of each other yesterday.
True, but when's the last... Name the last Leinster side to win the All-Ireland.
Well, obviously it's been a while.
And that's a fair point, but I still think for the current situation in Kilkenny and the fact that they're going to have to... They have a lot of work to do to get to a stage where they're going to be competitive. I know they did draw a tip at the end of the league and all that sort of stuff, but... To get to a stage where they might be competitive with Cork and Limerick, they're not there right now. And if they were to have to play them right now, I think that could do them more damage than perhaps waiting in the long grass. But Galway are taking along nicely
I just don't know what the sitting is. But look, listen, Galway and Kilkenny can tell Cork what it's like to win an All Ireland far more recently. You know, like, so, like, you know what I mean? So, like, there's cases and points to it.
I think you'd much rather be a Cork fan over the last couple of years than either of those two counties, because you've been realistic contenders. Kilkenny probably feel they were last year. But I suppose I'm just, like, while we all get carried away with this, Richie Hogan was in with Adrian last week and he's like, it's just a totally different competition. It has no relevance. It's obviously, you want to win it, right? You want to win it as a standalone
once it's over,
thing.
It's of no benefit. But we've said that repeatedly. We said with Arthur last year as well that, like, we talk about it gloriously during the event, and then there's a winner of the Munster Championship, and it feels like the winner is less important than what actually happened before. It was like, you're reveling in the majesty and the chaos of it. You win it and then you move on to the All-Ireland.
And it was chaotic and it was magisterial. The first minute and a half of the second half, where there's three goal chances at either end, you're like, well, this is incredible stuff here. And then the quality dipped a little bit, but then it came back up.
What did you label it as? This is Champions League quality
Champions
stuff.
Champions League level. And knockout Champions League as opposed to
the league stage.
League stage.
But look, the one thing that you... There was a couple of things, like you lamented in the Cork performance against Tipperary, which was the long-range free-taking, which wasn't so much of an issue yesterday. And then the lack of goal threat, lack of goals at all. And they kind of rectified that a little bit with the two goals yesterday. Now, Nicky Quaid makes two superb saves in the second half, too. And Patrick Collins, I think, makes an almost identical save to Quaid from Peter Casey, I think. Like, the Limerick forwards were brilliant at times. But at the same time, I didn't know where the Limerick goal threat was coming without Galan.
Alan Connolly on the freeze.
Yeah, which is interesting, and he was fairly solid. But Darren, like, to your point about, like, who would you prefer to be, like, Darren Fitzgibbon gave a bit of a hint there afterwards. He was interviewed immediately afterwards on the television. It's the first time that Cork have won their first two games in this round robin, so that's something to celebrate. And he said they will celebrate her last night because they have two weeks off now. Yeah. And he said, thank God for the 2 weeks off before the Waterford match, because they're wrecked from this.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the point. There's, like, it's great, and a titanic epic struggle of a Munster final will be great, but there is a world in which everything else carries on. So one of now, because of the fact that Cork are on 4 points, only one team on 4 points has ever not made it out. One of Limerick, Clare and Tip are gone. We don't know which yet. Obviously, we have to play the games. But...
We have this conversation pretty much every year.
With that in mind, I wouldn't mind being in a Kilkenny situation now.
Yeah.
Well, like, they're because they won at the weekend and won handy, they're actually essentially guaranteed to go through now.
I know, but are they fulfilling their potential
This is the thing. In that,
you don't need to fulfill your potential. You're temporary.
Are you really ever challenged until you're challenged, and then it's too late?
As far as getting to a semi-final and rolling the dice, I think you'd rather be in Leinster. But I think as far as feeling as though you're fully prepped and knowing where you're at and going to win in All Ireland, you'd probably rather be in Munster.
Exam-wise, Kilkenny have a lot of studying to do.
To your point about the case-by-case basis, like if Galway come through the front door and win this year, they've got a really young team.
Oh, yeah.
Who are going to benefit from that and who don't need a lot of injuries and suspensions, courtesy of the mad fight that is Munster. So...
Yeah.
Who do you reckon? I know it's
I don't know.
Who's going to go?
I mean, first of all, we're putting this in green, like, for sure, the Munster Hurling Championship, but who's going to go? Like, as I said,
Tipperary are my favourites to go.
Yeah, I think I don't think Tipper are going to get going in time, and they're going to be last year's All-Ireland winners, and that'll be it. Like, was that like, maybe next year?
Years that's happened then, McLaren.
And I think Waterford will go as well. I think that the both of them, they cancelled each other out yesterday. I think they're going to cancel each other out overall. I think Clare will get through. Clare, kind of the only country I've ever really properly talked about yet. And so they play Limerick, as they say, this weekend.
1B.
I think Clare will join Cork and Limerick. But Waterford is incredible. Like, they got 324 yesterday and 421 last week.
They just don't go away, do they?
There's some amount of self-belief for lads who don't have any confidence in this tournament.
Yeah, they did have to go 11 points down to start hurling.
They did, how would you look at that? So Peter Queeley, like, laments first half performance, second half was excellent. Liam Callis on the other side saying, what happened in that second half? I read one of the, I think Malachy Clarkin wrote the report about Tipper playing like students on their best behaviour after getting given out by the teacher in the first half. Everything was perfect. Everything was accurate, focused, concentrated. What happened in the second half with Tip? Same kind of energy collapse that you saw against Cork. It's hard to get up for it again, like.
Yeah.
It is.
Michael, there's loads of comments here. We'll just rush through these. Cork don't need to rush anyone back for Waterford or Clare. Says Michael Maloney, the same man, says Kilkenny won't do anything.
I know, no one expects him to. That's the point. Like, it was the lowest point in Kilkenny hurling history last week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now they have...
Yeah, there was
in form and they couldn't score and now they could score. Like,
as far as bouncing back goes, like, they did as much as they could at the weekend, I think.
Yeah. Alright, that's in the green for sure. Let's talk Mayo here. Firmly in the red, I think it's safe to say. Will we hear from Andy Moran first, the Mayo manager? He was talking after the loss to Roscommon in the Connacht semi-final yesterday. Have a listen to this.
You know, we don't want to be looking that we just have one or two main scorers for us. Like,
and Tommy, it's one of those days where John Mayo football need to go away, we need to learn and we need to get better and we need to come back stronger.
Yeah, you're into the qualifiers now and you'll be waiting to see your playing. Also join you there, Tyrone, Meade, Donegal as well, who were beaten today. It's not the end of the road, but it probably feels really deflating losing that game today in front of that crowd at home.
Tommy, it just shows that if you're not fully on it in these games, you're going to get beaten. And unfortunately for us today, I only heard that Donegal got bet. We came a cropper, like Donegal, like Meath, like everybody else. So we were playing a Division 1 side, really, really good side. They stayed in the division this year and took some massive scalps, and now they've taken another one. So ours is a tiny bit different because Roscommon are Division 1, but it's still a humbling defeat today, yeah.
Yeah, I heard you saying to the rest of the press, I just got the end of the piece there, but you were talking about being disappointed as a management team, but I'm sure the players in the dressing room themselves would be disappointed given the second half performance that they put in.
Ah, they will be. Of course they're proud Mayo people and they're here in front of their home crowd, 15,000 people, and they're losing like that. Of course they're going to be, but it's up to me to pick the team and to get the right mix together, and today we didn't. So yeah, we have to go away, we have to be man enough, we have to pick it up and we have to go again, you know.
Yeah, let's hear from the winning manager here, Roscommon's Mark Dowd.
You know, we don't want to be looking that we just have one or two main scorers for us. Like, it was great to see other guys chipping in for us. And, you know, that was something we said to them, like, you know, played them with that bit of freedom, that if the chances are always for them and they were able to get the shots off, that was good.
Could I just ask you about building a squad and depth, Mark? It would have caught the eye for the weekend. Three fellas in your standby squad from 27 to 30, from the Bridges contingent, Brian Stack, Rory Fallon and Pierce Frost, all played club football this weekend. That's something you haven't been afraid to do, fellas who aren't in the 26 playing club football. Can you talk to us about that and maybe where those boys are at?
Yeah, and I suppose I saw a couple of crazy things that was being thrown out there in the last day or two when panel was announced, but like, in fairness to likes of Stacky and Rory, they're coming back from injuries, like, you know, and like we've had probably four or five full pitch sessions with them, so like we knew that they weren't going to be 100% for today, and like, you know, from me talking to them, they were happy, they wanted a club game to get into it, and in the great first, like, you know, there are two more guys putting their hands up now for 2 weeks time.
Exactly, and that's such a positive. You don't want fellas going stagnant you know, hanging around the panel maybe and not getting any games.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's probably the most, hardest thing for a manager to go and have to, you know, tell the lad you're not in the 26. But you see the effort that they're making from back in November 1st, like, you know, and they are disappointed. But in fairness to the lads, like, they've been a credit, like, guys that outside 26, the way they've been driving on this setup has been, I'm really delighted with that, and so are the management. And it's to their credit, like, you know, we've got a performance like this today.
Yeah, 2019 is the last time that Roscommon won Connacht. How about Diarmaid Murtha? We'll talk about Colby McDonald, outrageous. 6 points in his championship debut, but Diarmaid Murtha for Roscommon. As I said earlier, Mayo 3 points up at half time. I think within 2 minutes of the second half, Mayo were a point, or Roscommon were a point ahead.
Yeah.
Murtha got a lovely 2-pointer. Murtha finishes.
So obviously Mayo started much better. Murtha runs through with a goal chance and blasts it and hits the inside of the upright and rolls across the goal, and you're like, ooh, that's going to be their day. Yeah. And from the kick out, he gets an open goal tap in.
I think he's in his 13th or 14th season with Roscommon as well. He's been there since he was like 17, 18. And I think he's maybe 30, 31 now or something.
Laughing his head off when he scored the tap in, because I was like, ooh, imagine if he missed that. But it was great. They were brilliant.
They were. Like, I wouldn't, we had plenty of shocks over the course of the last couple of, I wouldn't describe this as a shock.
No, but I suppose it was shocking. Well, the manner of the performance.
Scale of it. That's going to happen in these games now.
Yeah.
It's 10 points, like, you know.
Yeah. I know, it's a bit of a drubbing, all right, yeah, for sure.
At home.
Yeah.
The fans streaming out with 60 minutes on the clock.
Not to kind of not dwell on Roscommon, because they absolutely deserve to be dwelled upon, but it's a big setback for Mayo, isn't it? It is a setback.
Tommy will take his lap of honour about how good Roscommon were a year late. Yeah. But he'll with us a little bit later on, so we will do.
And without a lot of the players who we would have spoke about before the championship started, like Rory Fallon wasn't involved, Brian Stack wasn't involved, Ben O'Carroll wasn't involved. Like, these are the guys. These are outrageously good footballers, and they weren't involved yesterday.
Now, to the point, right, about the hurling. There's 5-6 weeks before we see Mayo again. A lot of football will be played. A lot of training will be done. A lot of partnerships will be on for Killian O'Connor, comes off the bench. I don't know I don't know what role he's going to play. Do any of those players start in 5 weeks' time, 6 weeks' time? Tommy listed off the All-Ireland contenders who are now kicking their heels, waiting for the draw. And it's a list of good teams who you would have expected to be contending for provincial titles. Yeah, I noticed he included Meath in there. But anyway, I don't know. It's a disaster. It feels like a disaster. It feels bleak, but is it that bad?
Well, there were negative words by Andy Morn afterwards, but the tone was upbeat. I guess the job of a manager too, because you can't join the chorus of negativity necessarily, because you have to be the man to motivate these players into improvement. You can look back in the first half, Kobe had a good debut, but of course the issue then is Kobe's going. That ain't the future, unfortunately. And that also, Aidan O'Shea ain't the future in terms of medium to long term. And I maybe it jars at people, maybe, with Andy Moran saying, look, this is year one. And it's like, well, it's true, it's year one for you, but it's not year one for many of these Mayo players, and the patience necessarily isn't there for something like this to happen. It is also mad in this condensed championship that we're talking about. It's going a million miles an hour. We're trying to get through everything, in that you can have that much time off at the same time. So Mayo have another pre-season here, if they want.
Yeah.
It depends how they treat it. This could be a bookmark of a low point for the year, and it could improve thereafter, or it could be the start of something. It's hard to know. At the moment, you would veer towards the latter. A reminder too, for the Braeburn competition, €100 voucher, 087-918-180 on WhatsApp. Simply name the year the last time Down won the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. You have until the end of the show to enter. €100 Braeburn voucher for the winner. So Mayo firmly in the red. Shout out to Leitrim too, not officially here of course in the performance rankings, but gave Galway a hell of a game. Stephen Poacher too was quite defiant afterwards, adamant that writing off Leitrim is at your peril.
Yeah, Barry McNulty, unfortunately for Leitrim, didn't have his shooting boots on, as he has done for the last couple of months. At the weekend, Tom Pryor was the man leading the charge, but if they had converted a couple of those 2-pointer efforts, I think we could have been talking about a real shock. But unfortunately not on their behalf. But again, it'd be interesting to see when and if these kind of big contenders, like we're looking at Kerry, were won at the weekend, not at their very best, obviously without a lot of their best players. Donegal, obviously beaten. You'd be wondering when the peak sort of, when these teams do peak.
Yeah.
Play big.
David and Paddy got 2-10, I think, between them for Clare against, or for Kerry against Clare.
One of David's, the goal was pretty fortuitous.
It was, and he was laughing afterwards, yeah. But it was still, it will go down in history as one of his other goals. How about Cork as well, by the way? Didn't score till the 17th minute against Tipperary, Semple Stadium. Less than 2,000 at that game.
Wow,
but they, yeah, it was, and at half time it was pretty close, but they ended up winning handsomely in the end. Great weekend for Cork. Are we move on to the rugby?
Yeah,
the
John Cleary did say that they had one eye during the week on the game in Killarney, and now they can have two eyes on it.
Yeah, so yeah, for sure.
Shadow walking.
Their first Munster final since 2021 there, Cork. Considering Tip's last final was the year before. Chasm between both sides. Irish rugby, okay, so this is actually a bit of a debate here. What colour are we going to give Irish rugby? So, in the Women's Six Nations, it's 7-7 at half time, and Ireland have 3 disallowed tries to go with their 1 try that was allowed. And the French try in that first half, I don't know if you saw it. I'm not sure if that was definitely grounded, and it didn't go to TMO as well. The ref just gave it, and the Irish players accepted it. So, draw at half time. In the end, France ended up showing their quality in the second half and running away with it. So, that's a big disappointment. As for the URC, well, Connacht lost in South Africa to the Lions, and then Leinster, and this goes back to my earlier point about the URC, was you're trying, your rotating players quite flexible. There's a bit of variety in the URC, let's say. It's not necessarily as strong as players. Well, Leinster go to Benetton, still with a fairly strong team.
Oh, yeah.
And they lose that game right at the death. It's 26 apiece until they concede a penalty. Benetton were fantastic there. I see a lot of Leinster supporters praising Benetton for that victory. And then Munster, the only reason that there's a debate here all about the colour of rugby was their immense victory against Ulster. John handed 4 tries. Did you see his hat-trick try? Did you see the passing for that? Craig Casey, behind the back pass to Tom O'Hearn, who took a man out. Gavin Coombs, quick layoff. John Hannett plays as a right winger, bundles over. Stupendous.
Yeah. Will anybody remember this, you think?
Yeah, I will. Forever. this
forever.
Is, it's all about moments, you know. And that try, that hat-trick try by John Hannett, as I could say, if you know, you know. If you were there, you'll remember it. And you'll see it online, yeah, actually, because it's gone mini-viral in the world of rugby.
Have they turned the corner on the pitch?
I don't know because all jokes aside, it's obviously a very depleted Ulster team there. But they still have to get the job done. In terms of the narrative and attitude around Munster rugby at the moment, you wouldn't have been surprised if Ulster won that game, considering how negatively people are talking about Munster. But Munster still won it.
They were 28 point favourites.
So, and that's 2 wins
shock
in a row.
There's no, like, it was players who hadn't played in years. It was players who were academy players. It was people who don't even have contracts.
I'm only answering the question, right? You would have been giddy coming in here had Ulster won that game, right? But Munster win it, and it doesn't. It doesn't really suit what's going on because it's a bit like, well, Munster are actually in a really bad place, but they've won 2 in a row, and they're 4th in the URC. They're only a place behind Leinster. It's a bit awkward how we're supposed to talk about them now because they're actually doing all right on paper. But
the main takeaway,
I can't tell if they've taken turn
all
the
of the injuries that they
yeah,
suffered.
It is. It's huge. The injuries are.
So I was listening to them up in the bit before
genuinely
this.
Significant.
So Tyburn goes down badly.
Yeah.
Ollie Yeager's got another head injury. There's speculation he might be stood down for the rest of the season. I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head who else went off. Oh, Calvin Nash, who's just back from like an injury-ridden season. He was in crutches. There was somebody else at a bad time. So, like, they do not have the depth at the moment to be able to deal with this over the next couple of games. And have they to go to Galway?
Yeah, that's next. Yeah. Tyburn, Jack Crowley, John Klein, Calvin Nash, Tom Farrell, Ollie Yeager.
John Klein.
Yeah.
John Klein did his sounded like a bicep,
I'll start with the enjoyment of the victory and some of the lovely rugby played, despite the opposition, or in terms of the strength of that opposition that we know of. So what colour do you want to give it? Do you want to give it red because of the injuries to Munster, despite their victory?
Well,
it's Irish rugby.
It's Irish rugby. You're going to try and find, like we did last week, where we put the sport in, and between what happened within the sport, you give a final colour. What colour would you give Irish rugby?
So Ireland have a massively disappointing defeat in a game that they had targeted, and we're talking big in the build-up to.
But it's the one that got away because, as I say, 3 tries disallowed. In the first
a frustrating loss for Ireland.
Yeah,
but performance-wise,
a shocking loss for Leinster.
The performance, I don't think was good.
No, because first half was good, second half not good. Sven once said
Connacht's unbeaten run comes to an end. Ulster's third strength team performs the way they should.
I think it's Leinster red.
They're beaten. It's red all day long.
Yeah, I think it's red.
Like that Munster victory is a Pyrrhic victory. It's the definition of a Pyrrhic victory.
Because we're hurting Ulster. And Ulster the Golden Boys.
There is that.
Ulster the Golden Boys.
There is that.
Ulster. Connacht were 28-0 down against the Lions as well. it should be noted. That game finished 33-21. So it got a bit respectable at the end. They played well at the end, but that was a comprehensive defeat.
One more try for a bonus point, though. Like, not getting the bonus point, I mean, they were obviously, it was too late for them. It was too little, too
Look,
late.
Look, I'll give you a red if you want, then I'll just privately celebrate the Munster victory.
Yeah.
Okay?
You do that.
I won't really believe in this slogan politically, but you can have your red. That's fine, if you're going to have red. How about the Premier League and relegation races? Breaking news this morning, Xavi Simons is out of the rest of the season and also will miss the World Cup for the Netherlands.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, so Spurs, their first victory in 2026 was at Molineux at the weekend.
It was a very convincing victory, wasn't it?
1-0 in the Matt Doherty derby, and Matt Doherty was the man who kept Palunia onside.
Yeah, he was. He was slow to get out.
So Spurs win 1-0. And then Callum Wilson, how important would that goal be? The 92nd minute winner against Everton in the David Moyes derby. And Callum Wilson, who in January looked like he was going to leave West Ham, looked like he was all done. That was such a brilliant, like, relegation fighting type of goal where it falls to him in slow motion.
You can see that,
and he
bobbles
it into the ground. So West Ham still 2 points clear of Spurs. Friday night, Nottingham Forest spanked Sunderland 5-0 at the Stadium of Light.
That was ridiculous. I was sitting down watching that.
Crazy, wasn't it?
There was a few people around, so I had the television turned down and I was just kind of looking at it, and every single time they attacked, if they didn't score, they threatened to score. It was outrageous stuff. Sunderland, like, at home, Sunderland, who've been sort of, you know, notoriously good at home this year, to go and do that and relegate. But then I was looking at it, and you're thinking, after that game on Friday night, you're going, Forest are all right here, they're grand. But nothing has changed. Mm. You know, they're still in the same spot they were. They're just one game less. Obviously, a lot can be said for winning a game 5-0 like that. But even Leeds, like, I know Leeds are playing very well at the minute. Were probably slightly unfortunate yesterday against Chelsea with the ratings worked out. But Leeds have to play West Ham and Spurs.
If they lose
both of those games, they're in bother, you know?
They have Burnley on Friday night, this coming Friday night at Elm Road, Leeds. So if they get something from that, it does feel like it's a two-horse race between the London sides to go down to join Burnley and Wolves.
Yeah, now there's a world in which everybody keeps winning from here
on out.
Of course.
And you go down with a weird gets caught. Well, Newcastle.
And they are sinking like a stone.
This is going to the other side of the table. Arsenal 1, Newcastle 0 on Saturday. This is a bottleneck of sport at the weekend, by the way, at
dreadful
this time on Saturday
game,
evening.
Dreadful game of football.
Right, so you had Arsenal Newcastle, which was a pour on the eye. At the same time, you had Southampton against Manchester City in the FA Cup semi-final, which got very interesting right at the end.
Yeah.
And
I actually nailed it myself as far as flicking between games goes. I turned over about 3 minutes before Azaz stuck it in the top corner.
Ah, beautiful.
And got all the goals, and then
I think I was watching it too when Azaz. Yeah. I think I was double screening.
Yeah.
And Munster Ulster was at the same time as well. And then yesterday afternoon, if you are of the persuasion of watching the other FA Cup semi-final, Chelsea Leeds, that would have clashed with
everything.
Waterford tip.
The end of the
with down, yeah. Donegal.
3 o'clock of a Sunday. Don't know.
It clashed with so much yesterday. I don't know what people
chose.
The
end of the Cork Limerick.
Yeah.
Was it 3 o'clock?
Was it a bit later? No. Started at 3. Cork, that would have been peak Cork Limerick.
Melting pot Cork Limerick.
Then you'd say Waterford tip after, and
Mayo Roscommon kicking off a four.
Down Donegal, Chelsea Leeds. It's outrageous what these corporate gods expect us people to do, to pick a screen. So the relegation battle you went through, is that a green fee? The actual relegation battle? It is interesting. It is interesting because it's going to be Spurs or West Ham, you'd imagine.
Yeah, and Arsenal have put this pressure that they think that they are capable of
Arsenal,
on Manchester City, but they looked shot to bits after that game on Saturday night. They looked wrecked.
They're going to crawl over that line if they win.
My boy is coming good, but it's just not quite as good as
I will say. Yeah. I will say fair play to them for that goal, whatever about their set piece thing, but they went short. The crowd didn't like it. They went short again. The crowd didn't like it. And then they went short again, and as they stuck in the top corner, they tried the same thing three times.
Exactly, because Gary Neville was getting exasperated at how long they were taking for their corners.
Because they had a chat every time.
Third time lucky.
The chat was, are we doing it again?
But in terms of their quality of play, like, there was a moment at the end of that match when Arsenal on a counter-attack, Victor Gyökeres had the ball and he tried to square it and he telegraphed the pass and it was intercepted. And it was like, that's the quality you're talking about. This is what people talk about with Arsenal. But look, they got over the line and Man City weren't playing. So it's been a good weekend for Arsenal. You can't say anything otherwise. For Spurs, well, as I said, Xavi Simons now out for the rest of the season, confirmed this morning. And Dominic Solanke also got injured in that game. So that'll be huge. Tonight then, Manchester United play Brentford at Old Trafford in the Premier League. So overall, combined, the title race and the relegation battle, what colour are we giving for the Premier League?
It has to be green considering every year.
Well, you don't. It's going to be very tight. Who's going to win the league and the third team to go down?
Yeah, and within context, we never have that.
Sorry, all of a sudden, Chelsea are like, oh, we could actually finish fifth again.
Yeah.
Just a very brief word on Aston Villa. They've only won one of their last eight away games in the Premier League.
A bit of a disaster, really. Created plenty of opportunities.
It was a big chance for Villa.
Against Fulham, especially when it's early. You just put the pressure on everybody else, but they put the pressure on themselves. They're playing two legs against Forest. Forest looked like they were limping towards the end of the season 3 weeks ago, and suddenly they found a bit of form. So they could still finish sixth and no European trophy and be in the Europa League next season, and that would be a disaster.
Let's give it a green. And then finally, for the performance rankings this morning, League of Ireland competitiveness I've put here in terms of interest in the league.
Snappy title.
Right?
Yeah, it's good.
Because,
like
judge. Shamrock Rovers again going to win the league again, right? We were talking about this with Owen Heary last Friday morning. Well, they lost at Celtic Park, GAA grounds. Derry City won. Shamrock Rovers, a shocking game, as Stephen Bradley said afterwards. It looked weird. The pitch was
I just can't, terrible condition. My head can't wrap around
too much space
that.
Behind the goals. Yeah. It was a just poor enough running. Game, as they say there. Yeah. Derry won it by the odd goal. Meanwhile, Pats beat Bowles 3-1. How about Bowles? They haven't scored more than a goal in a game since the end of February. They haven't won a game at all since mid-March.
Man,
and up
Bowles.
Until early spring, you know, you were thinking, well, this finally is going to happen for Bowles. But I'd say Anne Reynolds is struggling here. Waterford and Galway drew 1-1. That was a very late equaliser for the basement boys, Waterford. Shells again. Like, what is going on with Shells? They've conceded bucket loads of goals this season. A number of times they conceded 3-plus goals in a game. They lost 4-3 at home to Drogheda United, having been 2-0 up at half-time in that game. And then on Saturday, Sligo Rovers beat Dundalk 2-0. So it means for the League of Ireland table right now, Pats are top by a point after 13 games played. They're 26, Rovers 25. Third place in the League of Ireland Premier Division. A side who look like they're going out of business there last year. Dundalk, despite losing 2-0. This is how inconsistent that league is. You can't trust Bowes, can't trust Shells, can't trust Derry.
That's what makes it so interesting though, isn't it?
So therefore, what colour is it? League of Ireland competitiveness.
Oh, it's green. It's great.
It's green. It's great.
Because look, Rovers could be 10 points clear at the stage of the season. It was like, oh, what about that race for Europe?
Yeah.
Not fine.
And finally, for the Braeburn shout out for this week today, the competition 0879 180 180 is the only place you can play in WhatsApp. Named the last year at Down, won the All Ireland Senior Football Championship. 0879 180 180 is the only place you can play. The winner gets a €100 Braeburn voucher. We'll announce the winner at the end of this show. In the meantime, that is all she wrote for performance rankings, except you want to mention Rochdale and York.
Yeah, for anyone who does care or doesn't care.
I think people care about
this. One of the greatest things that's ever happened in English football, I think, happened at the weekend between Rochdale and York, the last game of the season. But I know you laugh, right? This is ridiculous.
I heard the commentary from BBC Radio.
It was amazing. Yorkshire. But it's ridiculous that this can't even happen. Last day of the season in the National League, York are 2 points ahead of Rochdale. They meet on the final day. They're both well up over 100, I think maybe 108 plays 106 or something like that, and all York have to do is draw. Rochdale score in the 95th minute, the fans flood the pitch, and the referee adds a couple of minutes on. Naturally, York go and score a goal that I still don't know if it even crossed the line. That puts them up, and to wrap it all up, basically only one team gets automatically promoted from the National League for some reason. I don't know why. That needs to change. It's been needed to change for years. That's probably another conversation. The other six teams go into the playoffs. And unfortunately now for Rochdale, despite accruing well up over 100 points across the season, they're now going to have to go into the playoffs.
That's
against
outrageous.
Teams who are about 40 points behind them in the table. So good luck getting yourself up for that one, lads.
They're going to call for a reshuffle there, a reorganization of that league.
They did already.
It's been called for years.
The and issued a joint statement.
It's the same thing happened a couple of years ago when Wrexham, who are now on the verge of Premier League football, turned to get into the playoffs if things go their way on the last day of the season. They had the same thing with Notts County a couple of years ago when they were in the National League. Both of them were well up over 100 points.
Yeah.
And it was a similar thing. They weren't playing against each other on the last day of the season, but Wrexham obviously went and won the league, and Notts County went into the playoffs and were beaten by Paul Cook Chesterfield. So
Frank Lampard's Coventry City won the championship, of course, over the weekend, lifting the trophy.
Some great
scenes. Medals, they all have them now.
Wow, that's your performance rankings.
Off the Balls performance rankings.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability. Following pharmacist consultation.